Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor, the adventure of live radio. A couple of minutes, Ray. Brought to you by LER and MVP Magazine, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Right Fit, Sports, Fitness, and Wellness. Got a great doubleheader today. Dondi Dalen, she's an energy medicine specialist. She's the best-selling author of The Five Elements, accomplished dancer. She's returning along with John Abdo, author. He's a health coach to champions. He's one of my teammates on the National Fitness Hall of Fame. He's class of 2007, and he's the creator of the unbelievably successful Abdoor exercise machine. Dondi Dalen, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Bob. I love being on your shows. It's always such a joy to talk to you and your guests.
Great. Give us some background on you and the world of energy medicine. To start.
Absolutely. So I work in energy medicine, which is a way to alleviate pain in your body, to work with illness, to work with stress. And you do this by using your own energies. So when I say your own energies, I mean you can work through acupressure points. You can work through meridians, which are simply energy pathways on the body, and you do this all with your own hands, your own electromagnetic power of your hands. And what's so great about it, people are always surprised, it's pretty quick, it's very powerful. I think that people feel that, I can easily just reach for the aspirin instead, because self-healing is going to take too long, and I don't know if it's going to really work. But what's amazing when people come into energy medicine is they always say, oh my gosh, it worked so fast. I held my acupressure points for just a couple of minutes, and the pain in my lower back is gone, or the pain in my feet is gone. And that's the power of energy. We all have energy in our body. We have energy systems, just like the lymphatic system or the circulatory system. We have energy systems, and when people learn to work with their own energy system, it's incredibly empowering, and it really unlocks a lot of answers to life. Why did I have that pain in my ankle, and I couldn't figure out why? Why was that pain in my knee? Why was that pain in my neck? Well, when you get the energy moving and the pain goes away, you realize that
it's interesting. I think you probably were on the show 5 years ago, 3 years ago, a couple of different times. You know, the acceptance of these natural forms of healing. You know, on the Sports Doctor, I have featured Eastern Western medicine for 25 years, give or take a few weeks. You know, the mixture of our cultures in enhancing healing and trying to stay away from constant medicines. And there's been tremendous acceptance, you know, from, ooh, what are you talking about, voodoo here, to some real acceptance in the sports world and all other areas. Now, this has been, of course, you were traveled the world as a dancer, as an exotic dancer, pushing your body to the limits. I'm sure this came in handy.
It did, absolutely. I was in flamenco and Middle Eastern dance and Polynesian, and I used energy techniques to keep myself well while traveling the world for 20 years. I also, interestingly enough, used it in showbiz when I was an actor. Using energy techniques helped my memory, so I was able to memorize my lines for commercials or TV shows, whatever I was doing at the time. And so it really seeps into all different parts of the body. And Dr. Bob, I just have to say, yes, it's so exciting that energy work is becoming more accepted. And I remember when you and I talked about around 5 years ago, we said these two things can work together in harmony, Western medicine and Eastern medicine, and the medical field of the West and energy techniques, they can work together and they're complementary. So it's very exciting.
Now, this, you grew up in this world with your mom involved in these works, didn't you?
Yes, my mom is Donna Eden. She's a pioneer in energy medicine. She's been teaching energy medicine classes for over 40 years, and she was born with this very unique ability to see energies in the body. So early on as a little girl and then into her teens and 20s, she didn't realize that it was unique. She thought everybody saw this way, and sometimes she explains it as people are walking down the street, and she sees their energy. She doesn't necessarily see the color of their hair or the color of their eyes or what they're wearing. She sees, oh, there's some dark energy around their lower back, around their kidneys, or there's some really beautiful pastel colors around their heart. And so that's how she sees, and that is what she has taught to people, to work with those energies even if you can't see energies, because you can work with your energy even if you don't have that very unique ability.
You know, again, we're watching the Olympics with all the craziness and all the challenges in Tokyo. It's always exciting. The mental side of the energy medicine world, the world of visualization, the world of positive energies has become a very big deal. You know, we're in the middle of this gigantic story with Simone Biles, with the psychology and some of these challenges, but the energy medicine has a huge mental component, doesn't it?
It does. It has a mental component in a very different way than psychology, because if you shift the energies in your body, it affects your thoughts. It affects your mind. And one of the great things about shifting your energy and working with your energy is you don't get stuck in that mulling over of negative thoughts or pressure. You don't get caught in that loop of what can bring people down, what can get people really depressed and really stuck. You do a simple energy technique, and it's amazing. You think, well, I can still think that thought, but it's not taking me down. I still feel alive and engaged, and I
different
still feel
different side of things. Don,
yes.
what's the best website people can find out about you? And I'm going to talk to you in a minute about your book, Five Elements, but find out more information about you and your world and your book.
Thank you. Our world is EdenMethod.com. Donna Eden is my mom, so it's EdenMethod.com.
And tell us about your book, Five Elements, and what that's all about.
Yes, so the Five Elements is from China. It's a personality type system. It's also a health system. And it's over 3,000 years old. It was actually written into medical text, called the Inner Canon, which is this giant book from China that's thousands of years old. And it was written into that book, and it looks at people in the way of unique energy combinations. But it's basically five types, and those types are named after elements in nature, so water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And once you know what your type is, or the combination of your types, because you can be a couple of different elements, you have answers for yourself as an individual, answers in terms of health, in terms of communication, in terms of why you do the things you do, why other
how would you describe, you know, in a sentence or two, each of the elements? Put you on the spot.
A sentence or two is putting me on the spot. Okay, water element, we'll start with that. That's a person who is a deep thinker. They're a little bit more transitional, slow moving. They like to take their time. The wood element is next, and they are go-getters. They're determined. They see the goal, and they go for it. The fire element is a person who has a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. They're very, very positive and high energy. The earth element is all about compassion. They are in service to other people. That's why they are on this earth, because they believe in love and they believe in compassion.
Now, of course, as somebody learns about those definitions and how you talk about them, then they can have the possibility of including more and more in their own feelings of what type they are. And they say, hey, I want more compassion. I'm more interested, a touch of go-getterness and methods to combine some of these things. Or are you stuck with who you are?
No, it's absolutely true. The whole reason to study the five elements is to balance your elements. And in terms of health, you get to find out what parts of your body are susceptible to injury or illness, which is priceless for athletes and people in sports. Because, for instance, if you're a water type, you know that water types are susceptible to the backs of their knees and their bones. And so you might take the steps to prevent injury in the backs of the knees or fortify your bones more. Maybe you take supplements. Maybe you do things to help that part of your body. The wood type is the tendons and the ligaments. The fire type is the heart. And this isn't to say that these elements will have problems in those areas, but it's where they are more susceptible. So for athletes, it's fantastic because they can do preventative medicine to keep those parts of the body strong. And the earth type is muscles. The metal type is skin, shoulders, and lungs. And just to know, if you are a metal type, and to know that the metal type governs the lungs, maybe you're a swimmer or a runner, that makes all the difference. To also know that if you do have some issues with your lungs, that it makes sense then if you're a metal type. If you turn out to be a metal type and you're having some issues with your lungs, then it makes sense.
But you have REM. So the again, identifying these particular elements allows you to bring into your own world these abilities to prevent things, be more aware of things, and enhance quality of life, to say the least, I would think.
Yeah, enhance quality of life, live in more harmony with life. Likewise, I was talking about the different body types. There is also movement that is resonant for each element. So a water type usually resonates more with Tai Chi, yoga, swimming. A wood element is more martial arts and boxing. Fires are running, biking, aerobics, high energy. Earth types are more slow movement like Nia and slow dance. Metal is more yoga and ballet. And when you find out that your body actually resonates with a movement, not just your mind, not just that,
yeah.
I like to go to the gym.
Yeah, I like to go to the gym a couple of days a week. Where does that put me?
Well, people who like to get to the gym usually have some wood. People who like to get out there and do, woods are doers.
You know, again, you know, as we accept, hopefully we don't run out of time, I'm going to give you a minute, you know, the areas of mindfulness, again, the area of the, I call it the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother or their parents, these energies and more acceptance of it, I think, is a, you know, is something that makes such a big deal. I would imagine, again, that general medicine paying a lot more attention to this.
Yes, they are. And I have to say, Dr. Bob, I appreciate people like you so much because you feature natural medicine in your show. And it's important. It's so rich for people to learn about this, to know that they can be empowered. They can still have their doctor. They can still go to the doctor.
Of course.
But be empowered to also do some techniques on their own and feel better. It doesn't take a lot to get rid of a headache or a stomach ache, which without reaching for pills.
You know, our culture, we're a tough sell. You know, the United States is one of only two countries in the world that even allows TV advertising of drugs. We are bombarded constantly that there's a pill for everything and that drugs are such a big deal. And therefore, it becomes a real challenge to accept sometimes some of these natural remedies, at least paying attention. You got a great word there when you say empowerment, where people can actually take charge with some things that really can be helpful. Give me quickly, Don D, the website again that people can find out about you and all the great work you do in the book.
Thank you. EdenMethod.com. EdenMethod.com.
Don D. Dalen with all of her magic. And you could probably find out. You got some information on all the dancing you did on those sites, Dondi?
There is some information there, yes.
And
thank
those,
you.
Those incredible outfits that you've had.
Yeah.
You really want to look at that. Thank you so much, Dondi. Thank you so much for joining me. Hold on a quick second. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. And welcome back to with our second guest. We've got John Abdo. John is an author. He's a health coach to champions. He's a teammate of mine on the National Fitness Hall of Fame. He's the class of 2007. He's the creator of the Abdoer exercise machine, which was one of TV's most successful infomercials. Hey, John Abdo, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation, Doc.
Great. Give us some background, John, on you and what you've been doing in your world with exercise and training.
Well, you know, this past year and a half has been very challenging for a lot of people, but we made a lot of successful adjustments. When COVID first hit, me in the fitness industry and obviously selling and promoting exercise equipment and nutritional products, we thought everything was going to come to a screeching halt. Just the opposite, especially home fitness equipment just started soaring. The factories were overloaded. People could not buy barbells or dumbbells or medicine balls for their apartments, the tension bands and things like that. So a lot of my coaching shifted to, hey, you don't need to go to the gym to stay in great shape. You could do calisthenics. You know, you could work out at home. You could work outside and keep yourself in shape. And it's really become the norm. A lot of people have stopped, and I don't like saying this because I know people who are in the health club business, they found ways to exercise and not only get in shape but stay in shape and make improvements.
Yeah. It's going to be a challenge for the gyms. In my own gym, there's no doubt about it. Of course, everybody on the Sports Doctor is familiar with some of our background, with our long comments. Come on next month, Bob Guida. John and I, we go way, way back. John was always inventing something, and he was always working with different pieces of equipment. And then one day, he went out to California. When was that, John?
That was 1997, 1998-ish, somewhere in that area.
And then a couple of years later, I couldn't put on the TV, whatever the channel was, without seeing John Abdo. and the abdoer and abdobics. My best friend, who's a serious golfer, 76 years old, still uses your abdoer, and it, he says it saved him. When you got involved in that information infomercial world, and that was the abdoer was a phenomenon, wasn't it?
It was the number one product in the world for several years. The company literally was spending $1 million a week in advertising to show you the magnitude of it. I went from rags to riches, and yeah. I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I consult a lot of inventors and try to help them take their brainchilds or intellectual properties to the marketplace. But yeah, and I say they spent. I licensed the technology to another group, which I think is a wise thing for inventors to do, unless you want to carry all the risk. You know, I'm the spokesperson. I develop the programs, the routines. I help design the infomercial, the website.
Yes. Don't you remember the 20 minutes that we did with the DARD, the dynamic axial resistance device, with Guida? And way back when, before you left, and when you were always involved in the world of rubber bands and tension bands, way back even before then.
Well, you know, you and me and Bob Guida, we were involved in fitness way before fitness was even popular, you know. So right now, you know, having tension bands is a mainstay for gyms, for training bags. Again, obviously not just because people are staying at home and working out and tension bands are the best, but yeah, it's just been a whole evolution of the fitness industry. And you and me and a couple other people, hate to date ourselves, but we were around
right.
at the beginning.
Perish the thought. Yeah, I'm a huge advocate now, John. You got to look at that sand dune stepper. That simulates being on the sand and working those feet. It's really, really exciting piece of equipment. And maybe before we get too much older and grayer, we'll bring the DARD back. You know, everybody listening
well,
to
hey,
Sports Doctor.
I'm
Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go ahead.
I've seen a knockoff of the DARD on the internet, but I don't think Bob Guida ever patented any of his products. And that's a question a lot of inventors ask me. Do I have to patent the product? Patent expenses, provisional patents, patents themselves, maintenance fees, trademarks, they're enormously expensive. And if you don't sell your product, I know one guy who's got $20,000, $30,000 wrapped up in an invention that he, in my opinion, and I'm not putting a shadow over him, he'll never sell it because there's too many other products out there that are look-alike. I mean, you got to have something that's very unique. The DARD is very unique.
Yes, and you had the perfect name, Abdo, because you went from Abdoer to Abdobics and all these programs you were doing. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. Matter of fact, you go back 5, 6, 7 years, you catch John on a couple of times in the past. You could see who the expert was, what the topics were. You can listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see an endless array of things we've been involved with. A lot of great excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, my involvement with Low Extremity Review Magazine, and the exciting followers we have on both LinkedIn and Twitter, where we have probably 40, 50,000 followers who we publish a lot of great information. And we're talking with John Abdo and talking about some of the different the history in the inventing of exercise equipment that you were so involved in. But you became an expert again in that ability to promote it and to get involved with, some of these infomercials who've made such a great difference. You believe it's 14 years since you were inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame, John?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I have an ability to explain my technology not only to investors, not only to manufacturers and product designers, but to the marketplace, the people who you know, you want to sell the product to, because you know that the cost-to-benefit ratio, at least I believe in the products that I sell, it's in their favor. I believe I'm selling them a product that whatever price they pay, they're going to get great benefits out of. So when I consult inventors, and by the way, just for your listeners, I've just joined up on MentorCam, one word. You can go to their website. I'm doing mentoring on strength training, health and fitness, inventing. So I'm working with a lot of people there so I can answer people's questions directly. But a lot of inventors are clueless as to which avenues to take, and or, you know, they say it takes money to make money. Sometimes they use that notion and they're spending way too much money where they can go a little bit of a more affordable way to secure their intellectual property. It's very, very tough for inventors to also be the marketers, to be the manufacturers, the fulfillment.
I mean, if you're the inventor, if you're the inventor, you're the artist, you're the creator, and all this other stuff becomes mind-boggling. John has also been an author in the world of men's health and sexual health. He's been involved in other publications, and you have this new book, the Wolves of Croton. Do I have that pronounced right, John?
Yeah, Wolves of Croton. It's about the life and times of Milo of Croton, the strongest man in history, a real person, not a mythological figure like Hercules, although they referred to him as a second coming of Hercules. They, meaning the ancients, he was reigning in the 6th century BC. He won every Olympiad and Panhellenic wrestling competition for nearly three decades, never dropped to his knees. He was able to carry a bull, and he's known today as the father of progressive resistance training, Milo of Croton. The book that I wrote, it took me 8 years to write it. What he did, Dr. Bob, he lifted a calf, which normally weighs about 88 pounds. He lifted it every day. By 6 months, it weighs 700 pounds. By 1 year, it weighs 1,000 pounds. He lifted it every day until it became a full-grown bull, over a ton.
That's really progressive resistance, isn't it?
Not only did he lift and carry it, he would walk into the Olympiad arena carrying a bull. Can you imagine how intimidating that would be if you got to wrestle this guy? But it's a true story, you know. So
really, they didn't match him up against. Okay, he wasn't matched up against Hercules. What about Samson?
Samson. They don't know if that's a real story or not.
Right.
Hercules. That's all mythological. Samson that killed the lion. Milo killed the lion. Hercules killed the lion with his bare hands. So and he also won a great battle when he was 50 years old. He was outnumbered 3-1. He had 100,000 athlete soldiers in his army. The Sybarites.
Progressive resistance.
Were,
all right, John,
progressive resistance.
We're going to look at more with that. We're going to grab a fast break, and then we're going to be back with John Abdo, inventor of exercise equipment. He's an author. We're talking about his new book. It's The Sports Doc. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. It's the Sports Doctor. We're talking with John Abdo, a long time, should I say legendary, trainer of champions, the great athlete himself, became a real creator of exercise equipment with his Abdoer, which again was revolutionary in the whole. Remember back then, John, nobody knew what the word core meant.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, the first couple of years in trying to market the Abdoer, no one understood it because I worked the entire midsection, not just the abdominals. When you do a crunch, you're just working the abs. Well, what about the obliques on the sides, the lumbar erectors around the back? The Abdoer, you're doing circular and twisting and pivoting motions, rotational motions, and you're working the entire midsection. But when it caught on, Dr. Bob, as you're mentioning to your audience right now, like I said, the company was spending $1 million a week. I think they were selling like 10,000 units a day. I was traveling all over the world, not just promoting the Abdoer. The beautiful thing about selling a fitness product is I'm teaching people how to eat better, think better, exercise better, improving lives all around the world.
That was always you. That was always your main focus, John. That was always in the middle of what you were doing. You're another one of, you know, my co-educators and teachers in this whole world of fitness and wellness and or sports medicine. And you also pay big attention to the role of the foot, which is why we include you in the group, you know, of high performance. And you were an athlete. You grew up an athlete, weren't you, weightlifter?
Yeah, I competed in the sport of Olympic weightlifting for 12 and a half years. Taught me a lot about just sports in general. And the great thing about Olympic weightlifting, Dr. Bob, is that I was able, and also bodybuilding and powerlifting and general weight training, I could strength train any athlete. I could strength train a female figure skater or a gymnast or a brawly football player. Because most of them use a lot of the same exercises, obviously different weights, different applications, things like that. So I had a whole slew of athletes in different sports, male and female, young and mature. So it was a really gratifying career. I'm really, really happy the road that I took. And it all began when I was a little boy. My father introduced me to weight training. You know, it's like, hey, this stuff makes you better. This is hard. But hard work makes you better. I'm going to do it. And paid off.
You know, it's interesting. You know, again, back in late 70s, 80s, before, you're younger than I am, when the idea of strength training, which was foreign to almost any serious sport, whether it was baseball, even football, in many ways, the idea of strength training was a tough sell. And it was the weightlifters and the powerlifters who really melded that point together. Again, you know, how Bob Guida, you know, whether they were coming to him and they were great tennis players or volleyball players or football players. And again, he was always talking about functional. Remember, we would use the term instability training, John, right? With all those stabilizer systems.
Well, you know, if you think about it, back in the good old days, the only source of education and or promotion for weight training were the bodybuilding magazines. There was nothing else. And you see these guys with 18, 19, 20-inch arms, and, you know, they were touted as being muscle-bound. They couldn't touch their toes or tie their shoelaces because of lack of flexibility and stuff like that. So, like you said, football, basketball, forget boxing or gymnastics. None of them wanted to do weight training. But slowly but surely, and certainly now, we know how to apply all forms of strength training, even if you want to lose weight and become more flexible, increase endurance, gain strength, gain weight. So, you know, it just took a lot of time for coaches like myself and athletes to apply a lot of trial and error, a lot of injuries and sore muscles along the way, but it certainly paid off.
Now, you've always paid attention, John, to the inclusion of nutrition, as long as I know you. Talk a little bit about how you found the acceptance and big attention to nutrition coming right along with you in this journey on sports medicine?
Well, I started nutrition literally when I was a teenager. It wasn't, you know, I've been doing this ever since I was 17. I'll be 66 years old this year. You know, in the 70s, I started eating really good. And I would drive my parents crazy. Like, I don't want any butter. I don't want any salt. Trim the fat off the steak, all that stuff. You know, I mean, I was a little kid. My father goes, hey, you know, I worked hard for this meal and stuff, you know. But I always knew that you needed to feed your body. The human body is made up of trillions and trillions of cells, and those cells are comprised of what we ingest, what we breathe, what we swallow, food and beverages, and even what we think, the emotional energy that flows through our nervous system and blood system and stuff like that. So nutrition is definitely a big part of it. I've turned down students, people who come to me and says, John, put me on an exercise program. I go, hey, let's talk about your eating. You got to change this. You got to change that. If they're not willing to change their eating program, I'm not going to train them because they're not going to get the best results.
Well, that's why, John, I always ask experts like yourself in the world of fitness when you're working with athletes and coaches and their families, I always ask you how your sports psychology skills are.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, because it's mind over matter, and your body is the matter. You know, you are the boss, the CEO of your body. And, you know, I tell people, just give it 1%. It's kind of like a trick, you know, to kind of like get them a little motivated. Eat a little less calories, a little less bread, a little less mayonnaise on your sandwich, a little of this, and then all of a sudden, you know, on the other end, they're doing the exercises, they're feeling their muscles stronger, you know, maybe they got more endurance, then they become more incentivized. People need to see results. People need to realize results in order for them to jump full bore into the program. So a lot of people, especially those people who've never seen results before, I tell them it takes at least 2 weeks for your metabolism to kick in. And sometimes, you know, some people will endure it. Other people will quit after 3 days, 1 week, a week and a half, sometimes 13 days. It's like all they needed was one more day for their metabolism to kick in. And the way you know your metabolism is kicking in is when you step on the bathroom scale in the morning and you're at least 2 or 3 pounds lighter than the night before.
Really? And the how do you like what's going on in the world of youth sports, John, and the challenge of these kids younger and younger and all the different training and the importance of proper technique and education?
Yeah, I tell you, there's so much information out there, Dr. Bob. That's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. I know that it takes sometimes, like I competed in Olympic weightlifting. It took me 8 years to master a snatch and a clean and jerk. And then I competed for 12 and a half years. After 8 years, I go, oh, okay, I got it.
Oh, you know? Man. John, I can't believe the time flew by. I can't believe the time flew by. Give me the website people can find out about you and everything you're doing.
Go to mentorcam.com. That's my mentoring site. So if they have any questions, I can answer that. MENTOR, Mentor Cam, like camera, CAM, or just go to wolvesofcroton.com. Wolves of Croton, that'll be for my book, Wolves of Croton. It's a fascinating book.
I knew the time would fly, man. I knew John Abdo, champion of champions. John, hold on. Victor, we'll be right back, everybody. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, with our Sports Doctors In segment. We do some upcoming show identification of guests. We answer some emails. We might do something a little bit different today. I think we'll talk a little bit about Simone Biles and some of the, you know, everybody, how we talk about the mental game. Great shows coming up quickly. Suzanne Gray, the owner, founder of one of our supporters, Right Fit, Sports, Fitness, and Wellness returns. The Anti-Iceman, Gary Reinl, the author of The Revolutionary Iced, the Illusionary Treatment Option. The following week, we're all excited. Lindsay Vera, Yogi Berra's granddaughter, she's an accomplished writer and storyteller, and she's got an exciting new nutrition-based podcast. And then Eve Shannon. Eve is the executive director of the incredible Yogi Berra Museum. We're gonna talk about and Learning Center, the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center, all the great work they're doing. So some great shows coming up. I want to talk a little bit about Simone Biles. One of the biggest stories right now, if not the biggest story, is the fact that Simone Biles, the greatest of all time, young gymnast who is defending Olympic champion, dropping out after the first few events with mental anxiety, mental anguish, saying she just wasn't ready mentally. And this being brought into the forefront of even again, the best in the world at what they do, who have trained forever. There's so much attention to mental health, the pandemic. You know, the Olympics were put off a year. It was another year of training, all of these things regarding the life of an elite young superstar with the face of the Olympics in the United States. And last week we had on Rob Andrews. And Rob spent years. He's got a wall of gold medals working with the girls and women's gymnastics Olympic team. I think he worked with her since she was 10, 11 years old. And so we got his perspective on the whole topic, but it was before this particular incident happened. You know, not that many years ago, Michael Phelps, the greatest swimmer of all time, went through all sorts of mental problems. He faced it. He's become a tremendous educator and advocator for getting mental help and the importance of mental health. And he's been a champion. And we've seen with the young tennis player, Osaka, who backed out of the French Open in Wimbledon because she was concerned about her anxieties with interviews. The topic of mental health, the understanding that even champions can be challenged with this and become frozen in this whole situation. Rob Andrews told me in a message today, I thought we might get him for this segment. We couldn't, where he said he's done 20 interviews in the past 24 hours because of his background in that whole world. So we wish her well. She seems to be doing great with her decision. She's rooting on her teammates and whatever. And at her skill level with what she does, you must have all systems go. And we commend her for facing what we knew would be a difficult situation and talking about it. If we have a little bit of time here, we have Patty said, I'm 45 years old. I've worn heels forever. I took up jogging, running. My Achilles tendons have been problems. You know, Patty, you're an example of what I wrote about in a great article where we could have, it's not actual shortening of the calf and Achilles tendon attachment to the heel. We can sure have it being somewhat compressed, and all of a sudden now we're pushing it and it's aggravated. So what you really, really want to do is see a good physical therapist who can show you some exercises, proper stretching and strengthening. Again, you want to pay attention to foot type. And so you might want to really see podiatry and talk about orthotics, especially if exercise alone wasn't effective. Sam says, my 10-year-old daughter is a figure skater. She got bumps under the inside ankles. Is that a concern? It is, Sam, and the fact that this is a common area that's irritated. So many of the young skaters that I see those ages, those development of accessory bones on the navicular bone, which is right beneath the inside ankle bone, can be problematic. So you want to pay attention. Have the bootmaker punch out where those bumps are, and you might very well want to see podiatry because orthotics are a major weapon in controlling the motion that irritates these areas. Phyllis says, my 13-year-old son, he's a cross-country runner, on and off the past three seasons, shin splints. You know, shin splint is not a medical diagnosis. It could be tendonitis. It could be a stress fracture. So you need a specific diagnosis, and then you could deal with the problem. Also understanding, Phyllis, that in my experience as a sports podiatrist, 80 to 90% of the persistent shin problems are foot-related. Either we've got an excessively pronated, flattening out foot that's straining that particular muscle tendon group, or much less often, but also we would see a very high arch foot where there's a lot of stiffness. So we want to pay attention to getting the proper diagnosis, making sure we're doing strengthening and proper stretching under a physical therapist's supervision. You can't run through this. So sometimes we see intelligent rest, which is one of the sports doctor's favorite terms, is necessary, where we might have to take a couple of weeks off, we might have to back off. So you want to be under that kind of expertise. Quickly, again, this topic. Arnold says, my 15-year-old daughter is a tennis player. Anger seems to be a concern with her. How important is sports psychology? It's big, Arnold. It's big. We're just talking about this. The mental game is huge. By the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you are their coach, whether you are their parents, whether you are the parents, whether you are the coach, whether you're an individual trying to stick with their exercise program or their diet program, the mental game is huge. And if anything, it's exploded into our consciousness. Every guest I have on, wherever they are in the world, whatever their topic is, talks about the challenges of mental health over this past year and a half with the virus and COVID-19. It just has been a constant, whether your parents have kids in school, they're not, all of these different. And so you want to be educated. And the recommendation of the sports doctor is absolutely talk to your doctor, get vaccinated. We've just got to stay away from this. So we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It's Dr. Bob here on The Sports Doctor. See you next week.